ABC News, I'm Andy Field. House Rules Committee considering the debt ceiling bill negotiated by the President and House Speaker McCarthy.
Today's bill is a product of compromise and reflects the realities of a divided government. We shouldn't allow that to overshadow what this bill accomplishes.
Republican Chair Tom Cole of Oklahoma. Committee will vote whether to send that bill to the House floor for a vote. Ground stop ordered at Dallas Love Field Airport and Dallas-Fort Worth International due to thunderstorms and severe weather. Police making an arrest for the February shooting death of Sayreville, New Jersey Councilwoman Eunice Jumfor.
The murder has shaken the community, and no arrest will bring back the late councilwoman.
Middlesex County Prosecutor Yolanda Chacon says the councilwoman was killed by someone she knew from a church. Motive not offered. South Korea's state news agency says North Korea has launched purported space vehicles. North had announced plans to put its first military spy satellite into orbit. This is ABC News. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter is battling dementia. Carter Center says Rosalynn continues to live happily at home with her husband, former President Jimmy Carter. Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes entering a Texas prison to begin serving her 11-year sentence for fraud and conspiracy. Anyone who flew over the Memorial Day weekend can attest to how crowded it was.
The TSA says it screened 12 million people over the long holiday weekend from last Thursday to Monday. That's an increase of more than 216,000 travelers from the same weekend in 2019. The weekend was the biggest test yet for the airlines after last year's summer meltdowns of cancellations and delays that left thousands of passengers stranded. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Chipmaker NVIDIA joining the club of companies with a $1 trillion market capitalization. Last week, the maker of chips for gaming and artificial intelligence reported a quarterly profit of more than $2 billion and a revenue of $7 billion. Andy Field, ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matt-Nair. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's DNR is warning that over the next 2 months, we could see the worst spongy moth caterpillar outbreak in a decade. The invasive insect, formerly called the gypsy moth, primarily feeds on oak, birch, crabapple, aspen, and willow trees, but the moths will attack other trees and shrub species as well. Free courses of Pfizer's Paxlovid treatment for COVID-19 will still be offered for at least another few months, even after the Food and Drug Administration granted Pfizer full approval last week to market the medication. The U.S. government has stockpiled millions of doses of Paxlovid. Over 14,000 new COVID-19 cases were reported each week last month, although most cases in the U.S. are no longer reported to health authorities. I'm Jane Natnair. This is Civic Media News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes! So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, welcome back, Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Johnny Lupinacci moving, stuck in a moving van somewhere. Evan, you know how it is when you try to move your apartment 1 mile down the road. You can't find anybody who's reliable to get your stuff there. Johnny, we miss you. We'll see you next week. The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Teaching and learning in hostile times. I used to have a blog on Google in 2008. And I called it that. That was the title of my blog in Google, Teaching and Learning in Hostile Times in 2008. I look back at 2008 now, and I'm like, wow, we were free back in 2008. What was I thinking, teaching and learning in hostile times? Because today, man, where are we today? Hostile times, I don't know. Stuff is being banned, outright banned. To be taught in grade school, to be taught in middle school, to be taught in high school, to be taught in college. How do we ban information? Are these, you know, heretical insanities that will ignite the population into some kind of dystopian rebellion? What is it about the banning of teaching certain things right now that has gotten into certain politicians' waters, particularly Florida? Well, we have one person, and I'm just going to quote, I'm a professor. Florida just banned everything I teach. Check that out in the Daily Beast. Our guest tonight, Will Horn, he's the Arthur J. Ennis postdoctoral scholar at Villanova University who writes about the relationship of race to labor, freedom, and capitalism during construction and Jim Crow. He holds a PhD in history from the George Washington University and is co-founder and editor of the Activist History and Review. Will, Dr. Will, welcome to Busted Pencils. How is it going over there in Philadelphia tonight?
It's a beautiful night, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so I'm a professor, right? And Florida just banned everything I teach. I already made the announcement. You're at Villanova. You're in Philadelphia. Somebody's going up there right now going, but you don't even teach in Florida, dude. So you didn't, nothing was banned. Explain, what do you mean banned? You can't teach in Florida. Give us a little bit. I mean, the Daily Beast, what is this stuff?
Sure. Yeah. So that's right. I don't teach in Florida. I'm not claiming to teach in Florida. But Florida has banned all of the subject matter that I teach. And as someone who lives outside of Florida, and I'm very grateful to, you know, teach at a, I think, a great institution who, you know, they are very supportive of me and my work. I think it's important for me to speak out for people who maybe are worried about their jobs. Right? I know a lot of scholars in Florida, a lot of educators who are very concerned about their jobs. And I've reached out to several of them to try and connect them with interviews recently for various publications. And unfortunately, they're concerned that if they speak out about what they are experiencing, right, or the concerns that they have about how you deliver content, when in fact, you know, the 3/4 of the content of your class has been essentially banned by the state, you know, how does one do that, right? But they're concerned, of course, that they're going to be fired if they speak out. And so, you know, part of the reason that I decided to write this is because I teach, you know, predominantly Black history in the U.S., a good bit of U.S. history, you know, and some broader world history. And so this is stuff that, again, the Florida bill touches on. And I'm a little bit freer, I think, than maybe some people in Florida to speak out about the impact of these things for students. And so this is really kind of the basis of my article, is that, look, students really want to learn this stuff. You know, I taught high school for a number of years back in Louisiana. You know, I taught at a couple of different universities. Every single time I've taught this type of content, students are hungry for more, you know, and every single time, regardless of grade level, you know, or, you know, in this case, university level, they have often shared that they hadn't experienced that previously, that this has been something that had been missing, you know, from their education experience, that helped them make sense of the world. That's really important. And so that's why I think it's really important to write something like this.
I don't know. I mean, you're talking about the fact that kids want to know this. They enjoy learning this. That, to me, sounds like reason enough that we should keep it away from them, because we know that anytime somebody wants to know something, that something they know is probably going to end up disastrous. Okay, enough of the funny talk. Well, no, I mean, we're here. Johnny's not here tonight, but, you know, we've talked about this many times over the years. The, you know, the freedom to teach and learn. And yeah, you're not in Florida, but to point out the fact that I'm a professor, Florida just banned everything I teach. And I just want to read from the piece in the Daily Beast for a sure. second. Quote, writing during the apartheid regime of Jim Crow, famed historian and founder of Black History Month, Carter G. Woodson observed that the philosophy and ethics resulting from our educational system have justified slavery, peonage, segregation, and lynching. That system is exactly what Governor Ron DeSantis has tried to resurrect in signing SB 266 into law, a whitewashing tactic that has historically coincided with white supremacist violence in the U.S. All right, we're not going to get to white supremacist violence just yet. There will, but
sure.
Okay. So Woodson was observing at that time schools actually doing the work of teaching racism, of teaching segregation. Are you saying that what you are not allowed to teach now is that you're not allowed to teach that, hey, Carter Woodson said that?
Sure. I mean, yeah, if we're starting with basics, that's a basic that I would, you know, again, if we're looking at the Florida law, if we're looking at similar legislations, you know, similar legislation or, you know, executive actions in various states, you know, across the U.S., that would be difficult to teach and that might put you, you know, in some place of liability, you know, relative to the state.
It's and what's interesting about that, right? I just said, yeah, it's a fact. Okay, this yeah. was a quote that was actually done, you know, said, and the reality of the quote, okay, is that now maybe somebody would say, well, that sounds like critical race theory. Although I'm pretty positive that anybody who's officially participated in the banning of CRT really has no idea what it is they're banning anyway. Really, though, what they are trying to ban is to say this story of saying, hey, people have been observing for quite a long time, particularly that our education system can tend to, and in fact, in certain places, can be very segregationist, very historically racially biased, and the curriculum itself can do lots of injustice to kids and families. And somebody would say, well, we're beyond that now, Will. We don't need to teach that anymore. Maybe it's a fact, but what purpose is it in bringing up the fact that in the past, schools used to teach racism?
Sure. Yeah, that's
not,
a great
not
question.
Teach racism, mate, but let's teach essentially people how to be racist.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and we can go back, you know, we could look at those textbooks, right? And there are just some really gobsmacker of lines in there, but they're not all that different from what you see, for example, in the quote unquote, like American birthright curriculum. I don't know if you've seen this or not, you know, but it's, yeah, so it's associated with Christopher Rufo. And I make the case, and I think it's pretty clear that, in fact, this is inspiring some of the legislation that we're seeing at the state level in terms of what is being required to teach, you know, and the sort of the quote unquote, like Western values, you know, and that kind of thing. But I guess, you know, the reason that but this is so important is that, like, you know, we, even if we're not, let's say, even if teachers are not teaching kids, as you put it, like how to be racist, right? If you're omitting what actually happened in the past in your classroom instruction, then what you're actually doing is depriving students of the ability to understand the world that they're moving through. You know, I give some examples in the article, like a really prominent one in our public discourse is redlining. You're not going to understand the reasons that our neighborhoods are very segregated and remain segregated today if you don't have any concept, right, of redlining. And so you might come away, and I've had students share with me ideas, right, sort of spitballing ideas, both in high school, you know, at the college level, that, oh, well, maybe, you know, like this group just wanted to be by itself, or maybe this group just didn't work so hard, right? And so that's why they have to live in this area, right? But that's not the case at all, right? In fact, we know, like, it was, you know, it was a part of U.S. law and a part of U.S. Public policy that created this, the segregated neighborhoods that we see today, you know? And so if we're talking about, like, you know, it depending upon what city you're in, right? Like if you're talking about this neighborhood over here is very dangerous, right? Then in part, like what you're talking about is in fact, like, you know, an expression of this longstanding decades and decades and decades of U.S. policy. And so if we're not teaching students that stuff, right? If we're not teaching students what actually creates the world that we inhabit today, then what we are doing in fact is leaving those questions open and sort of wink nodding, suggesting that in fact, you know, there must be something wrong with those people in that neighborhood, right? And that's, you know, one of the real dangers.
Well, and you know, I'm not even sure it's a wink and a nod anymore, to be honest.
Sure.
We're talking about Chris Rufo. I mean, you know, I mean, he's always listening to Busted Pencils. He just never calls in, and you know, but it's the way it is. You know, he doesn't want to deal with Johnny and me. But and now, God forbid, he would call in and join us tonight. 844-967-2789. But you know, when you point out that curriculum, you know, American birthright and stuff. So when we talk about banned, what's being banned, we have to also then put in a measure of making sure people understand, and what's replacing,
okay, that's right,
the ban is a curriculum, not, you know, based on, and this is the kind of weird part, is it's a curriculum that is largely fantasy, potentially maybe positively aspirational, if sort of like that, but we're mandating. We are mandating fiction, fantasy, and patriotism, and we're taking away truth. How do we do that? It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number's 844-967-2789. Our guest tonight, Dr. Will Horn. He is at Villanova. We're talking about his piece, I'm a Professor. Florida just banned everything I teach. When we get back, we're going to, you know, go into a little bit of white supremacy. Busted Pencils, back after the break.
Did you know more than 26,000 men and women from Wisconsin have died while serving their country? This Memorial Day, take time to honor their legacies. Here's former President Barack Obama on Memorial Day 2009.
Waged war so that we might know peace. We braved hardship so that we might know opportunity. We paid the ultimate price so that we might know freedom.
Join all of us at Civic Media as we salute those who gave their lives for our freedom.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 56. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, southerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for isolated storms. Highs level off around 86. Lows dip down to about 62. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. Temperatures well above average Thursday and Friday, with highs in the upper 80s. Thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 82.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest, Dr. Will Horn, his piece in the Daily Beast. I'm a professor. Florida just banned everything I teach. We're talking about, you know, this whole idea of legislating, you know, and here we're really, we're talking about American history, and we're being very specific here. There's a lot of things that are included in this, but Will, you know, we were talking during the break, you know, and kind of pointing this out right as we were coming into to the end of last segment, paying attention to what's being banned is really important, because you say, you know, things like redlining, yes, banned, right? Well, wait, but redline happened for real. It really did. I know, but it's banned because it might make somebody uncomfortable. And therefore that word uncomfortable is the kind of, you know, pressure gauge that says, oh, that's a banned material. As soon as somebody says I'm uncomfortable, you know, we're talking about American history, but then paying attention to the curriculum that replaces what's being banned and seeing then the, you know, a very whitewashed, westernized, patriotic march to the celebration of America has done nothing except be awesome.
Right.
And you'd sit there and go, yeah, well, I can hear, you know, potentially my grandfather is not here anymore going, well, that's what they taught us, and I turned out just fine. You know, what do we need to be teaching all this other stuff for? You know, it's all in the past. Why aren't we talking? It's like, no, but what's in the past also is the fact that what we, quote, used to teach you, granddad, wasn't true then. And now it's not like we didn't know then, but now we have curriculum materials. And you said, what is the purpose of teaching and learning is not to, quote, you know, and I'm going to use their line, the woke warriors, they're the ones who are doing the indoctrinating. When we look at what's being replaced by what they're saying, what is being banned. Tell me a little bit more about some of the alternative curriculum that is, quote, acceptable under the new Ron DeSantis. And it's not just Ron DeSantis. It's, as you point out, 36 different states have done something and or similar. My state here in Ohio just last week passed Senate Bill 86, which is, you know, it's the Florida bill here, you know. So, yeah, it's not just Florida. But let's talk a little bit about that, you know, quote, alternative or supplemental or the curriculum to use in place of truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so there's a lot of talking about, like, you know, the quote unquote founders. There's a lot of talking about, like, that, you know, the U.S. is a Christian nation. It's founded on Christian principles. There's actually a lot of really broad stuff Because it actually gets kind of dangerous when you get down into the specifics, even of the founders. Like, even if you were to look at just the Declaration of Independence, like sort of the first founding document, there's a reference there to like, you know, a frustration with Great Britain because, you know, allegedly they like forced the colonies to have slavery, which is absurd. And you know, there's a sort of an accusation there that they, you know, aren't doing enough to like eradicate, you know, indigenous people, you know, in and around the 13 colonies. This is in the founding documents, right? So when you actually like start to look carefully, even at what is being mandated, right, then you cross the line. And so it isn't even just that, like, you know, you can't teach about slavery, you can't teach about redlining, you can't even actually teach the actually existing Declaration of Independence. You can read the first little bit. You can't teach the whole thing.
I'm going to say, I mean, that's kind of what you're saying. It's like, well, wait, well, no one reads that part anyway. We all, I mean, that's, you know, kind of like subtext footnote, you know, we would, you know, because, yeah, you'll hear this, you know, because, and I'm glad to hear you, you know, you start out as a social studies teacher. I'm a social studies person. Johnny, who's co-host, is a social studies person. We look at this and we were, you know, we probably came at this from the point of view of going, it's just like, man, even myself finding out for the first time the things that I hadn't been taught and feeling the passion come over, not of anger, of frustration, of sadness, of guilt, of going, man, I want to know more. I want to know more. But when we're talking about this mandated, you know, the first two paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence and that only,
right?
It's like we're stripping away and saying, don't look, and in fact, it's not like we're saying don't look closely, don't read closely, don't think, just here's what it is that matters. We've decided this already for you. How the heck, this is radio, so we got to use that word heck, how in the heck are people walking around talking about this as if this is a move towards setting people free?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a move for empowering some people, those people who already have power, right? But if we're wanting to understand how the world actually works, if we're wanting to understand things that actually happen, this curriculum isn't going to do that. And in fact, it's designed to keep that from happening. And I think that's really important. You know, the people who are designing this, they I think do in fact know our history. I really think they do. I think they do actually have sort of an accurate understanding of the, you know, legacies of inequality, of racism, you know, sexism, all of the isms, right? And it's in their interests to keep everyone else from knowing about those things, because they're the ones who actually benefit from those systems. And yeah, that sounds like CRT, and that's fine. But you know what? That's just true. So it is what it is.
Yeah, critical race theory. So we're going to be, whatever. I'm going back to the post today, you know, the post in the Daily Beast, and I'm quoting you again, Will. While myths and fables about the greatness of the founders, enslavers, and segregationists might make some Americans feel better about their country, they misrepresent the problems we have as a society. Chronic intergenerational poverty and resource-deprived neighborhoods might seem like an individual failure, for example, until you learn about the sprawling system of segregated opportunities, from redlining and sundown towns to the ongoing efforts to keep schools segregated and underfunded. In fact, those racist systems not only produce wealth inequality, but also created a whole host of problems that we face, from chronic flooding to never-ending traffic jams. When we get back,
a fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. House Rules Committee considering the debt ceiling bill negotiated by the President and House Speaker McCarthy.
Today's bill is a product of compromise and reflects the realities of a divided government. We shouldn't allow that to overshadow what this bill accomplishes.
Republican Chair Tom Cole of Oklahoma. Committee will vote whether to send that bill to the House floor for a vote. Ground stop ordered at Dallas Love Field Airport and Dallas-Fort Worth International due to thunderstorms and severe weather. Police making an arrest for the February shooting death of Sayreville, New Jersey Councilwoman Eunice Jumfor.
The murder has shaken the community, and no arrest will bring back the late councilwoman.
Middlesex County Prosecutor Yolanda Chacon says the councilwoman was killed by someone she knew from a church. Motive not offered. South Korea's state news agency says North Korea has launched purported space vehicles. North had announced plans to put its first military spy satellite into orbit. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Three people are dead and several others are wounded after 15 separate shootings in Milwaukee over the three-day holiday weekend. The wounded include two 16-year-olds. Lawmakers this week will debate whether Wisconsin taxpayers should chip in $2 million toward the cost of Green Bay hosting the NFL draft in 2 years. Republican State Representative David Steffen says it's not an expense, it's an investment.
For every dollar that's being put in of state money, we're getting 45 back. This is really a tourism short-term event with a long-term benefit.
Steffen was on Upfront on Channel 12 in Milwaukee Sunday. 250,000 visitors are expected. The total statewide economic impact could be $94 million. In sports, the Brewers host Toronto tonight. Adrian Hauser starts for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Boat Hustle is building out the best fiber network in rural Wisconsin to deliver ultra-fast fiber internet where others can't or won't. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, Boat Hustle is bringing fiber internet services to your area at an honest price without any contracts or data caps. Call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com and get connected with Bug Tussle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
That's what we do every Tuesday night, any way you want it. Well, sometimes, as long as you want it the way I want it, that's the way you'll get it. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number is 844-967-2789. Evan, we ready to roll that special audio clip here. For anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, Ron DeSantis, take it away.
I think what you see now with the rise of this woke ideology is an attempt to really delegitimize our history and to delegitimize our institutions. And I view the wokeness as a form of cultural Marxism. They really want to tear at the fabric of our society and our culture.
Oh, Will, our guest is Dr. Will Horn. He is the Arthur J. Ennis postdoctoral scholar at Villanova. His piece in the Daily Beast, "I'm a Professor. Florida just banned everything I teach." Okay, I saw, you know, anybody who's listening, you, Will, we can see each other on Zoom. So I saw your eyes do a little flutter in your face listening to Governor DeSantis. What specifically caught you there?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to unpack. There's a lot.
That's 20 seconds.
Yeah, No, I mean, I think like the reference to the anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, the cultural Marxism, I mean, this is really, that's quite something from a sitting U.S. governor. Not that surprising. It's been a staple of, you know, sort of Republican discourse for a bit now. But I mean, the idea, though, that teaching our past as it actually happened is somehow dangerous to us as a country. I think, again, like this honestly is insulting because I think, you know, my students, my neighbors, my parents, they can understand things. That doesn't mean that, you know, that they're going to, I don't know, what's the threat? Move to Canada? I don't understand what the danger is here. But
well, think about that, though, too. You know, I get this and go, it's like, okay, he identifies. I mean, you know, in one sense, you know, really good at kind of turning the argument into going where people go. I mean, a great reframer. So the point is that he is fighting ideology. That's the word he uses, is that because me, Ron DeSantis, I am now fighting ideology. And it's like, well, dude, you know, people hear that and go, well, that's great because we don't want that in our schools. We don't want ideology. But the reality, again, back to going, wait, so your fight against ideology is forbidding teaching and learning truth and reality.
Yeah.
You know, like that to me just continually amazes me to say, and how does it not fall apart right after he makes an announcement, I'm going after ideology by mandating ideology?
Right. Yeah. I mean, but I guess, you know, that's sort of is the trap, right? That, you know, they don't see it as an ideology, you know, and I mean, we've seen this in other regimes too, but the sort of the idea of American exceptionalism that we're like the best all the time, right? You know, is something that is woven into our history and into our society. And it's really dangerous. Like it actually hurts people and it historically has killed many people. You know, but I think that's kind of like what he's referring back to though, is that like anything that is critical of this sort of like, you know, commonly held ideology, right? And I think that's a sort of a set of ideas that many of us, you know, on the left and on the right identify with, that the U.S. is a really great place and, mm-hmm. you know, that it's really special. And it is, you know.
It is. Look, you yeah. and I are doing this right now without government censorship. So the reality yeah. is we are in a great place, right? And yeah. and Chris Rufo, I know you're listening. So there. We're not saying that this is a crappy place and we don't want to live here anymore. We just actually would like to keep living here.
That would be really great.
You know, but there it is. You know, we put it out there again. One of the other things, and you write this in your piece, and I'll just again another quote from the Daily Beast. I can't recall a single student sharing feelings of personal guilt or shame, although that would be totally fine. After having learned about the systems of oppression and exploitation that shaped our world. Okay, you're talking about college students. I remember teaching fifth grade. Yes, I used to teach fifth grade also, and teaching that same type of, whoa, I didn't know that Mr. Schlecker at the time.
Yeah.
And the idea, none of them had, it was a sense of, it's learning. There's no shame in learning, you know?
Yeah.
So I just like the student perspective, how many, I mean, yeah. Talk about the students you've met and how they react to what you teach.
Sure. Yeah. And so I taught
ideology you teach. Okay.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no. And so, I mean, this is something we were talking about over the break too, but I assigned a lot of primary documents. So that is like documents from the past that students can look at themselves. And I think they find that really powerful, right? Because now they have an artifact, and this can help them gain a window of understanding. I'm not just going up there and saying, hate America. This would be an absurd way to teach, and no one would benefit from this, right?
Right,
you know, no one, literally no one does this. You know, but my experience with my students has been overwhelmingly positive, both in high school, you know, and, you know, at the undergraduate and graduate levels, because people want to learn, they want to understand the world better. And, you know, they want to do better for themselves. They want to do better for their communities. And so learning something new is not something that, you know, they sometimes they object to like the amount of reading because we read a lot, you know, that's fine. You know, yeah. Sometimes they object that like maybe there's one too many essays, you know, and again, that's totally, you know, but no one is coming in and saying, I had to learn something and it made me feel terrible. And now
I was,
you know,
I was up all night. I was distressed.
Exactly. This isn't a thing. Yeah.
No, I had that. I mean, I think about that, you know, when I was teaching my social studies methods class and when I was, an instructor, a professor, you know, one of my key texts at the time, along with lots of other research, but I would, you know, I'd have a content and, you know, would use Howard Zinn's book, right, is one of my key texts just to read. And the number of students who never felt guilt or shame about what they learned. In fact, though, I can remember quite a few feeling guilty that they hadn't learned this in the past. Yeah. There was a more of an anger and an upsetness of going, how is it that I got to be a junior in college and I'm now just reading this book that Howard Zinn wrote in 1980?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The community where I encountered that the most, to be honest with you, I taught in a predominantly Black high school. And the students there had not had any kind of Black history at all. And I think many of them felt embarrassed. Some of them had some understanding from family or from, you know, elders or whatever. Others had not, you know, and so some of them felt really embarrassed about sort of like not, you know, quote unquote, like knowing their own history or whatever. But the truth is, like, this is the responsibility of, you know, the people in charge of the schools and parents, right? And I think, you know, when we're talking about like people who quote unquote feel bad about learning new things, well, who we're actually talking about is those people. We're talking about parents, we're talking about grandparents. Those are the people who have sort of like decades of rubber left on the road, you know, who have a lot invested in this system, you know, and now to sort of learn like this is really pretty harmful, actually. I think that's really the demographic that's actually pushing back, right?
Yeah, no, I think you're right because yeah, this whole idea, you know, it's the kids are all right, okay? Leave them alone, let them do what they do. You know, the David Bowie, you know, these children that you spit on as they make their ways, you know, they're fine. They know, you adults, it's you guys who have the problems. It's a different generation. The kids are like, I just want to keep learning. And in fact, now I'll go back into saying at the heart of trying to say what it is we do as a profession, which is a teacher. You know, you're a professor of history, I'm a professor of education, but we're teachers, and our passion and our purpose is to open the world up and to create an inspiration for students to learn. And that does not come through when you mandate, in one sense, regurgitate an inaccurate factual ensemble of misdates and things to tell a story of patriotic bliss, when the reality is that the patriotic story that's really, really powerful is that the idea of this democracy in education, the idea that you have the freedom to teach and learn, the ability, that is when, you know, Rufo, I'm not making fun of the American system. I'm lifting it up and celebrating it and saying that was its strength, was the reality that it could always go back and be critical of itself. And in fact, we were required to do the deep learning. I don't know. I mean, you got me going tonight, Will.
Yeah, I mean, well, and I think that that's really the power of education. It is ultimately, you know, an empowerment. It's a tool of democracy, right? And so, you know, it's a point I make in the piece, but, you know, it's no accident, right, that we see sort of these whitewashing bills, you know, and these education suppression bills, these book banning bills, at the same time that we're also seeing education suppression movements, at the same time that we're seeing attacks on protesters, and in fact, like, Republican governors in Abbott and in DeSantis glorifying people who have shot or strangled, you know, right. I mean, this is really running off the rails quite quickly. But you can see very clearly the connection between democracy, you know, and education, when we start to look at this larger picture of what these politicians are supporting beyond these bans.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, it's like, look, you can't ban inconvenient truths, okay? You don't have democracy when you are the one mandating indoctrination of a story that you only want people to hear that version of that story. You can't have a functioning democracy if you have an education system that is built on a mandate of indoctrinated lies, those lies that typically hold up, as you say, well, systems of oppression that have been around for a long time. And there I go doing that CRT type of stuff, Will, right? I mean, I look at this, you know, we had Diane Ravitch on a couple of weeks ago. I say, this is an attack on democracy. This is, right. You know, forget about the facts that it's saying we're not allowed to teach. Pay attention. This is an attack on the freedom of a people to govern themselves. This is an attack on the American way of life. I'm sorry. There you go. Patriotic America. Here I am. The American way of life is under assault. Freedom, democracy, under assault. And you have people like Dr. Will, Johnny Lupinacci, who took the night off tonight, me, Evan in the control room. We're trying to protect democracy. Will, last thoughts before we close up and I let you get back to your night.
Yeah, I think the stakes are really high. I know we didn't have a chance to touch too much on the threat of white supremacy, but again, you know, as I was mentioning earlier, you know, we see these types of education suppression movements going alongside major threats. One of them is an uptick, you know, a major surge often in white supremacist violence. This is something we need to be really watchful of and really engaged to prevent.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he is Dr. William Horn, the Arthur J. Ennis postdoctoral scholar at Villanova University, writes about the relationship of race to labor, freedom, and capitalism during Reconstruction and Jim Crow. He holds a PhD in history from the George Washington University and is co-founder and editor of the Activist History Review. He's now going to be joining the alumni of awesome guests who have been on Busted Pencils that can really drop some truth bombs for people who need to hear it. His piece, check it out in the Daily Beast, I Am a Professor. Florida just banned everything I teach. Dr. Horn, thank you for busting pencils with us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
And when we get back, Tim will break it down. Back after the break.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through,
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job, but I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 56. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, southerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for isolated storms. Highs level off around 86. Lows dip down to about 62. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. Temperatures well above average Thursday and Friday, with highs in the upper 80s. Thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 82.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Numbers 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Thank you again to our guest, Dr. William Horn, history professor at Villanova. His piece in the Daily Beast, "I'm a Professor, Florida Just Banned Everything I Teach." Man, we were breaking it down, the difference between what is indoctrination. We had Ron DeSantis. Evan, if you're here paying attention, can we play that again? Just that one more round there. You know, Governor DeSantis does such a good job of making my point. Okay, Governor DeSantis, tell us what's bothering you.
I think what you see now with the rise of this woke ideology is an attempt to really delegitimize our history and to delegitimize our institutions. And I view the wokeness as a form of cultural Marxism. They really want to tear at the fabric of our society and our culture.
That was
well, there it is. There it is. Ideology. And, you know, as Dr. Horn and I were talking about the reality of the ban, and we look at what's, you know, what is being banned in Florida. We look at what's being banned in actually 36 states all over the place. It's not ideology that's being banned. These aren't warriors going after woke indoctrinators. These are ideologues who are actually doing the indoctrination by banning truth, by literally saying content that we know is factual is now not permissible to be taught. That right there is the definition of indoctrination. Forcing lies, forcing non-truth, forcing a certain story to be the only story that's taught. That's the nonsense that we're putting forth. So when Ron DeSantis tells you that he's a woke warrior fighting ideology and indoctrination, people, we need to wake up. You know, I don't care if you like him, but, you know, are you in fact in favor of the government mandating ideology, of the government empowering and in fact mandating schools become ideological factories to indoctrinate kids about America? That is really a mythology, okay? Is really a mythology where everything is wonderful and happy. You know, I know DeSantis is going after Florida right now, been Disneyland and things like that. But, you know, I mean, it's a Disney movie. It's really weird that DeSantis is attacking Disney. Most of my criticism over the years has been about the inaccurate storytelling that Disney does. You would think maybe DeSantis would actually, you know, kind of be in partnership with saying, Disney, please bring more of, you know, these really awesomely illustrated incredibly imaginative, creative, graphic masterpieces that just don't really tell the whole story. How he's not, you know, supporting and in fact giving them even more tax breaks, I don't know, because that was the past. However, a little bit of an aside there, you know, if you are a warrior, let's not worry about a woke warrior. If you're a warrior for America, if you're a warrior for freedom, if you're a patriot, if you bleed red, white, and blue, democracy, freedom, you can't get behind a DeSantis, a Chris Rufo, a Donald Trump, on anybody who is supportive of any type of banning of certain materials that are truthful and then mandating certain materials that aren't truthful. Unless you are not for freedom, the only way you can support that move, those types of policies, is if you don't believe in freedom, if you don't believe in the promise of America, if you don't believe in democracy. Well, I guess then you have found your people and your ideology, because there has, boy, never been a clear case of incredible ideology on display right now than all of these attempts to, quote, go after wokeness. Man, that is the ideology. And that's what we do here, though, every week. Every week, busted pencils. We're busting pencils, telling the truth, making sure that the reality of teaching and learning in this country remains free. Free, the freedom to learn. There is nothing more democratic. There is nothing more patriotic than fighting for the ability to learn, for fighting for the ability to teach. Nothing, you know, and that's what we're doing here. You know, Johnny's not here tonight. We'll give him the night off. But, you know, we have guests, Dr. Will Horn, you know, Alfie Cohn, Diane Ravitch, you name it. They've been here. They've been talking about this. Wake up. And if you already know what I'm saying, great. I love it. Thank you. Go out and talk to your neighbor, though. Help your neighbor understand. Don't make fun of them. Don't belittle them. Talk to them realistically about the fact, do they understand that they're supporting nothing to do with freedom, nothing to do with democracy, nothing to do with valuing American patriotism? They are supporting ideological indoctrination. They are the ones against freedom. You can't support a mandate of fiction and a stripping of truth. You can't be for freedom if that's what you stand by. You can't do that. Talk to your neighbor. Help them bust some pencils. Take some pencils over to them. Let them break a few. Bust them. Throw them around. Talk a little bit more about this. Spend some time and, you know, get to know your neighbor. Talk about how you both love freedom. You love freedom. He loves freedom. She loves freedom. It's Busted Pencils. We love freedom. We'll see you next week. Busted Pencils, fully leaded.
Want more Busted next week. Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
As a dentist, I know what my patients are saying. She says her gums have been bleeding. Is there anything you can do? Try Newcrest Gum Detoxify and Restore. It's professionally designed to start healing gums from day one.
Crest. Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.